to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
I just want to thank you, yeah. Cause you made it this way.
Happy New Year. This is Miyuki, Interim General Manager. As we close out this incredible 2024, we want to take a moment to thank you. Your support, passion, and belief in WPFW's mission have made 2024 possible. You sustain WPFW, you help fortify WPFW from malicious unknowns, and you ensure WPFW could transition to a new studio where broadcasting has been uninterrupted. Together, we've celebrated the music and the stories. Together, we've presented the voices often unheard and have provided much-needed insights. Here's to you, our listeners, volunteers, and supporters, for making this all possible. Thank you from all of us, WPFW. Together, we will build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., your Pacifica affiliate. And always, always, as always, there's plenty to talk about. It's a new year. And so there's lots of important things to discuss. We've got a change of administration. And of course, a couple of major issues going on. I'll touch on a couple of them. In fact, I'll tell you what, there's something I've been wanting to take calls on, discuss. And, you know, this isn't on what I consider a left-wing radio. I'm a lefty, right? It's something that isn't discussed as it should be properly, in my opinion. And that's the Ukraine conflict. And let's face it, Donald Trump comes to power the 20th of January. And at that point, he has vowed to negotiate with the Russians and end the conflict. And as you know about Garland Nixon, as an anti-war person, anybody that says they're going to end a war, I'm in favor of it. As Frederick Douglass said, I love the quote, Frederick Douglass, I will join with any man to do good and no man to do evil, right? And that's the way I believe, of course, in this day and age. I guess it wouldn't be gender specific, you know, to be like, I'll join with any person. How about that? But whatever the case may be, you get my point. And that is, hey, I'm hoping the war ends. But what I'd like to do is talk about it a little bit. Just talk about it a little bit. Because, you know, I was actually talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned a reality. Because the person said something about Ukraine, and I said, well, the United States government should have never overthrown the government of Ukraine and installed the puppet government. It wouldn't be here. And the person responded, no, and walked away. They didn't. I think there was a discomfort there. I think they knew in their heart of hearts that their belief about the Ukraine war, this phony, fake lie, like we get about every war, that we're the good guys and we're fighting against evil and a dictatorship and all the lies that that the United States government always tells about every war that we start, that we create, and then the other side's the bad guy. I think that person in their heart of hearts knew that if they engaged me, things weren't going to go well for them. Why? Because I didn't just start studying this stuff February of 2022 when Russia entered the conflict. I've been studying this stuff for many years, all of this stuff. So let's talk about how we got here instead of this garbage lies that we get about how this, you know, they might as well tell us that the Russians have weapons of mass destruction or some, you know, or they are throwing, pulling babies out of incubators, throwing them on the ground, or one of these other lies they told us, or that they attacked somebody in the Gulf of Tonkin, one of these other lies. The point I always try to make is this, when I'm talking about any of these wars. They lie about every single war. They lie us into every single war. And there's a certain percentage of Americans that after they lie us into a war and then they start another one based on lies, there's a certain percentage of Americans that will say, think at least something like this. Well, sure, did they lie us into all the other wars? Fair enough. But for some reason, I believe them this time. This time, they're telling us the truth. I swear they wouldn't lie to us this time. They lie to us every time. So I'm not like, oh, wow, I can't believe. Maybe this time they're telling you the truth. No, let's talk about how we got here. That's what I'm going to do. You go back to 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed, whatever you want to call, fell apart. And there was some negotiations, and part of the negotiations was this. You had East Germany, which is part of the negotiations, and West Germany. So at the time, which part of the Soviet Union? East Germany was part of the Soviet Union. West Germany was part of Western Europe. And there was a discussion about, I see I got a caller already. I'm going to talk about five more minutes, then I'm going to start taking calls. So at any rate, so there was negotiation with the Russians because the West wanted to bring East Germany back into West Germany and bring them together. And they said to the Russians, we'll make a deal with you. NATO will not move one inch further east if you'll be okay with East Germany and West Germany reuniting. We won't move further east anymore. We won't take on any more countries. And Russia says, okay. Well, it was a lie. It was all a lie. There's an article, I didn't bring it up now, in New York Times, I believe it was 97. And basically it was, if you read it, it was basically this. The weapons manufacturers were very excited about expanding towards Russia, expanding NATO, because they could make a lot of money selling, you know, planes and war material, right? That's what a big part of what it was about. So bottom line. Despite the promise to Russia, and anybody can look this stuff up. If you don't believe me, you can research it yourself. You don't have to believe me. Don't believe me. I would advise you to research it yourself. So the bottom line was NATO continued to pick up country after country, getting closer and closer and closer to Russia's border. And Russia kept saying, you told us you weren't going to, you made a deal with us. You lied to us. You broke the deal. And the U.S. basically was like, hey, but we can do what we want. 2008 comes along, and there was a meeting in Budapest, Hungary, in April. And the Russians basically said, look, you cannot come up to our border. That's threatening to us. And might I add, and I'm going to add this part, when Napoleon attacked Russia, he came through Ukraine. When Hitler attacked Russia, he came through Ukraine. When after around 1919, 1920, when the Brits and the French and et cetera all attacked Russia, they came through Ukraine. They always come through Ukraine to attack Russia. And Russia said, look, I'm not going to allow the United States and the West, these people that have attacked us over and over, I'm not going to let them take over Ukraine and start building military bases on our border. That's a threat to us. And here's the way I've always put it. What would the United States do if Russia took over the government of Mexico and started building military bases? We don't have to ask, because when Russia started putting missiles in Cuba, the United States says, we'll have a nuclear war. We'll die. We'll kill everybody, and we'll kill all of our people. Everybody will die before we'll allow the Russians to put missiles in Cuba. So we don't have to ask what we would do if the Russians did what we're doing. At any rate, and basically, in a nutshell, Vladimir Putin in April of 2020 said, look, I mean, excuse me, April of 2008 said, look, that's going to be war. That's a red line. Now, our current CIA director was the ambassador to Russia. Shortly after that, he sent a famous cable, and the cable set was called Nyet. It's been referred to as Nyet means Nyet, or Nyet in Russian is no. And basically what he said is, everyone I've talked to in Russia, every person, the people that love Vladimir Putin, the people that hate Vladimir Putin, every one of them said Ukraine is a red line, that if the U.S. tries to put NATO in Ukraine, that's going to be war. So here's my point. It's not like we didn't know it. It's not like it was a shock. So what happens? In 2014, the United States government overthrew the government of Ukraine and installed a puppet government, which was the beginning of the end, right, for Ukraine. There's a guy, a famous guy, you can look it up, named John Mearsheimer, Professor John Mearsheimer. And Professor John Mearsheimer at that time said, look this up, you don't have to believe me. He said, the United States is leading Ukraine down the primrose path, and Ukraine is going to get smashed. He knew then that if the U.S. and NATO tried to bring Ukraine into NATO, that Russia would attack and smash it to pieces. He knew that. Everybody knew it. And the United States knew it. Now, let's go a little further. So that's 2014. The U.S. overthrows the government of Ukraine, installs a puppet government. And now, what did they do? What did the U.S. and Ukraine do when the U.S. installed a government? They started preparing for war with Russia. They started digging trenches. The war here recently, the U.S., when they took over the government of Ukraine in 2014, began preparing Ukraine for war with Russia. That was always the plan, is to weaponize Ukraine and to use it to unbalance and to overextend Russia. Let me read something for you. This is the RAND Corporation. The RAND Corporation is funded by the U.S. Pentagon. They did a paper in 2019, April 24th of 2019. And the name of the paper is Overextending and Unbalancing Russia. So now this is 2019. At that time, the U.S. said, how can we overextend and unbalance Russia? So the United States was after Russia then. I thought they were the bad guys. Let me read this to you. There were a lot of things they said. How can we overextend and unbalance Russia? Let me read one. Providing lethal aid to Ukraine would exploit Russia's greatest point of external vulnerability. Now, the last time I checked, the current Russia didn't enter the current conflict until 2022. This was 2019. 3 years before Russia entered the conflict, the U.S. Pentagon funded a paper. And in that paper, and I will read from that paper, providing lethal aid to Ukraine would exploit Russia's greatest point of external vulnerability. They knew that Ukraine was Russia's greatest point of external vulnerability. They knew that Russia had been attacked through Ukraine over and over, and that if the U.S. came into Ukraine and started building up the military, Russia was going to go to war. They knew it. In December 17th, everything I'm telling you, you can look up. I use facts. I didn't make this stuff up. Somebody can say, I don't believe you, Garland. I don't care if you believe me. You can research the facts just like I did. You can argue with me, but you can't argue with the truth, with reality, with facts. The date was December 17th, 2021. The Russians wrote a document and they sent it to the U.S. and they said, we want something in writing to answer. And they said, look, we need, if you read it, they had a list of things they were concerned with. And one of them was, we feel basically Ukraine, you're weaponizing Ukraine. We need to have a meeting. We need to talk about these things. And if it doesn't happen, it will result in military technical response. December 17th of 2021, the Russians sent a paper and they said, look, man, y'all can't come up into Ukraine like this and build bases and put missiles. Look, we need to talk or there's going to be a military response. And you know what the response of Tony Blinken was? That's not even a starting point. You see, they knew Russia was going to go to war with Ukraine. Ukraine was set up for that. Ukraine was a patsy. Ukraine is a victim of U.S. imperialism. And what did they do? The Russians said, come on, what you going to do? The U.S. said, nah, we ain't talking. And Russia said, well, then we're going to war. And I'm going to ask anybody this. Anybody, I must ask you this. If the Russians overthrew the government of Mexico and started building bases, what would the United States do? We'd go to war. How can you possibly think that the United States could write papers that say, hey, we can provide weapons to Ukraine because that's Russia's greatest external vulnerability? That the United States could write documents saying we're going to overextend and unbalance Russia? That the Russians could say to the U.S., look, man, just stay out of Ukraine. If you come up to our border on Ukraine, we're going to fight. And then pretend that they didn't know that it was going to be a war. They lied to us like they do with every war. You don't believe they lying? They lied to us? They're still lying to us. Let me give you one last piece of evidence. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. I'm going to give you one last piece of evidence. Then we got one caller. I'm going to go to the phones and then we'll continue. There was an article written Tuesday. It was in The Hill by a guy named James Durso. You can look it up yourself, D-U-R-S-O. And it's called Hold Ukraine Accountable for Corruption and Misspent Aid. Okay. But if you go down there, now listen to this. Here's what he says. In April of 2024, that's last year, the leadership of Ukraine's military intelligence participated in a series of roundtable discussions at Washington think tanks and policymakers, right? That's last April. The leadership of Ukraine's military intelligence participated in a series of roundtable discussions at Washington think tanks and policymakers. A former American diplomat familiar with a visit told this author. So a guy saying, look, man, a former American diplomat came to me and said the Ukrainians came in, sat down, their leaders. Now, listen to this. Here's a quote. What the Ukrainian military intelligence said last April. They expressed their reservations about continuing full-scale conventional warfare. They were concerned that Ukraine had lost the momentum and would be overwhelmed. So the Ukrainians came to Washington last April and said, man, we can't fight no more. We're going to lose. We're going to lose. We can't. Now, you may have been listening to me for a long time. And what did I say? The Russian army ain't losing to Ukraine. I don't know if you can count or if who can count or if I can count or if anybody in D.C. can count. Ukraine's 26 and a half times bigger. 26 and a half times bigger than Ukraine. Come on. The idea that Ukraine was ever going to win is preposterous. And now the Russians defeated Napoleon. They defeated Hitler. And you think Ukraine's going to beat them? And the Ukrainians last April came to D.C. and said, we can't win. We're going to be overwhelmed. Now, here's the problem. Did the Biden administration tell us that? No, they lied to us. And they said, well, if we send them some more missiles, they can win. If we send them this, they can win. They can stand. They lied to us. And you see, I don't care how much you love your dear Democratic Party or Republican Party, whatever party, the Republicans were in on it. I don't care how much you love your dear party. I hate both parties. They're criminals and warmongers, okay? But I don't care how much you love them. Can you deny that the Biden administration lied to us? The Ukrainians said to them, we can't win. We're going to be overwhelmed by the Russians. And they kept, you know what happened last April of 2024? I'm going to tell you what happened that month. Joe Biden signed off on $60 billion for Ukraine. The very same month, the Ukrainians came and said, we can't win. Think about that. Think about that. Did you know that homelessness just went up 20%? Look up online. Homelessness about 18 to 20% in the United States. And the Biden administration had the Ukrainians come to Washington, D.C., said, we can't win, man. We're going to get overwhelmed by the Russians. And they said, here's another $60 billion. Could that money have been used for us? Yes. Look around the black community. Look around the poor white community. They're all communities. $60 billion can do a lot. We've been had. They lied to us. They lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. They lied to us about the Ukraine war, Iraq war, both of them. They lied to us about the Vietnam War. They lied to us about every single war, and they lied to us about this war. And the Biden administration lied to us and said Ukraine can still win. Where people like me was like, Ukraine can never win. $60 billion they gave to Ukraine. The same month Ukraine said we can't win, and they telling us, oh, we're sure they can win. What do they care? It's your money. It's a crime. It is a crime, just another lie. And I don't care how inured you are to your particular party, you always get lied to. You've been had. They were never going to win. They were never going to win, and they're not going to win now. And we could have been involved in a nuclear war. We could have all been dead over that war. When the Ukrainians came and said they couldn't win, and from the very beginning, let's face it, I said they couldn't win when the war started. Really? Ukraine's going to defeat Russia? What next? We're going to put a mouse against a lion next? All they did was gave us lies and propaganda. Oh, the Ukraine's going to win. And the Ukrainians said, we ain't going to win, bro. Can you help us out here? Can you help a brother out? Yeah. Now what are they saying? Go turn it on TV. And what are they saying? They're saying, yes, the Ukrainians have to lower the conscription age to 18 so they can send more people into the fight. after they've told you they can't win, what is your answer? Send more people to die in a losing cause? Well, they did it to us in Vietnam. Why wouldn't they do it to Ukraine? The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893 is the number. We're going to start. We got a caller. First of all, let me say this, callers. Let me tell you. Make sure you keep your mouth close to the receiver. Do not use a speakerphone and don't talk softly. You got to talk loud and clear. We got a lot of computers. This stuff's got to go through and processors and everything. So we need you loud and clear. Okay. Don't hold the phone, set the phone down while you're on hold. Keep the phone at your ear because we have a 10-second delay. And if you set the phone down, when I call your name, you won't hear me for 10 seconds unless you have the phone at your ear. Keep the phone at your ear. All right, 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Robert Moat, calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
All right, what's happening?
I give me 2 minutes to read something. A nation is a historically constituted, stable community of people born on the basis of a common language, territory, economic life, and psychological makeup manifested in a common culture. It goes without saying that a nation, like every historical phenomenon, is subject to the laws of change as its history, its beginning, and the end. It must be emphasized that none of the above characteristics taken separately is sufficient.
You know what? Unfortunately, Robert, you know what? Can you do me a favor? Can you hang up and call back? We got a really bad line, and I do want the people to hear what you have to say. So please hang up and call right back. We got a bad line. All right, next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where you're? Unfortunately, we had a bad call. I do want to hear what Robert says, so please call back. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Yes, sir. Joe Stevens from Bowie. How you doing?
Talk to me, brother. What's happening?
Yeah, Janet Yellen just said we appropriated $175 billion, but I'm thinking that since you said it was back in 2019, that can't be a correct figure. It's got to be more than that. That's my comment.
Yeah, it's always more than that. They always give us a fake number. That goes back to 2022. I have heard numbers as much as $260 billion, who knows what. But the bottom line is we live in a country where it's an empire. It's not a country. Let me change that. Countries don't have 900 military bases. Our country has 900 military bases. Do you know how expensive it is to have 900 military bases? I think right now the U.S. is building like 14 bases in Finland alone. Now, think about this. Finland's a country with like 6 million people, and we're building 14 military bases there. What sense does that make? We're building one base in the Philippines that costs $500 million. Think about that. All of the money is going overseas. It's going to bases. It's going to war machine. And look around us. Stores closing, jobs leaving, people can't afford their rent. Things are, and our government, well, let's just be honest, they really ain't into you. Our government ain't into you. They don't care about the American people. Simple as that. American people, for some reason, they got us thinking this party or that. They neither one of those parties going to do nothing for you. Not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, none of them. Trump's coming in. You know who he's going to look out for? The same people that Joe Biden looked out for, the rich folks. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? Oh, no. That caller's gone. All right, let's try the next caller. We got another more callers? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? Okay.
Steve.
Oh, there you go. What's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I got this right. You were talking about how we promised Russia in 97 that we wouldn't pull those old Soviet countries into NATO.
I'm not sure the number. James Baker did. Yes. Yes. You can look that up.
Yeah.
Yep.
But wasn't Boris Yeltsin the prime minister there? And the reason I'm asking, and I could be wrong, was I think we were trying to be allies with them at that point. It was a sort of pre-Putin. And if I'm right, and I might not be, doesn't that change the context of the promise a little bit?
Well, I'll put it like this. We can agree that the promise was made. How about we start there?
Oh, yeah,
and,
for sure.
But the promise was made, for starters, because the Russians said there's no way we'll be okay with Germany reunifying after Germany just attacked us and killed 27 million people. We will not be okay with that if you guys are going to keep coming towards our border. And James Baker said, no, 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 we will not move another inch. It might have been 92, actually. I might have the number wrong. But so, okay, so continue.
Yeah, No, I'm just, look, I appreciate your analysis. You don't get this in the Washington Post or the New York Times. But when I was listening to this, I was just thinking it might have been a different promise based on the fact that, you know, we were hoping Yeltsin was going to be on our side, and there was no pretense that Putin was going to be in. And so I don't know, the context feels like that's important.
Well, let me say this. Yeltsin was not only on our side. Yeltsin was a U.S. puppet. He was an alcoholic, a severe alcoholic, but he was a U.S. puppet. I mean, extreme U.S. puppet. But what happened in the 1990s in Russia? Why is it that the Russians were so angry at the U.S. at the end of the 1990s? Let me tell you, and I want you to hang on. What happened? In 1990, and you can look an article up called The Harvard Boys Go to Russia. And a number, the Russians said, we want some help. We want to go from being a state economy to being an open economy. And the U.S. said, okay, we'll send some of our people. Larry Summers and a bunch of other people went there. And they were supposed to help the Russians change their economy, but they didn't. They robbed them blind. They went in and started buying everything they could buy from Russia on pennies on the dollar. They deliberately picked the skeletons and the bones of Russia dry. And the Russian says, wait a minute, we thought you were our friends. And you're and so the Russian said, forget it. Vladimir Putin came in 1999. The United States was thrilled because they thought he was going to be another puppet. Vladimir Putin was a Russian nationalist. And he said, nope. All that crap is over. We're going to stop selling your stuff. So the U.S. was initially happy about Putin because they thought he was going to continue to allow them to buy all of the assets of Russia. He was more of a Russian nationalist, and he said, no, Russia is for Russians. And as soon as he said that, the United States went from loving Vladimir Putin to hating Vladimir Putin. Let me say this. I have studied this stuff intricately, and there is nothing that I am telling you that I cannot provide documentation for in detail, including articles and newspaper and articles from the United States government. In fact, there's an article, I believe it was in Time magazine, I think it was called The Yanks Are Coming. They talk about Bill Clinton and sending billions of dollars to Russia, I believe it was around 96, 97, because they thought that Yeltsin was going to lose. So the U.S. sent billions of dollars and a bunch of people to influence the election in Russia and make sure that Yeltsin won. So, oh, I lost our guy. I was hoping he'd talk some more. At any rate, okay, call back if you want to, because I know you might have had some other things to say. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Leon.
Talk to me, Leon.
I wanted your opinion on, now that we in this war and everything, do you think things will get better when Trump get in there?
No.
Or do you think it's just going to be the same old flim-flammery?
Love flim-flammery, just a different brand. You know, it's like you go to the ice cream, to the store, and you don't want butter pecan flim-flammery or chocolate or vanilla. So we're just going to get a different flavor of flim-flammery. I do say this. I do think Trump wants to end the war in Ukraine, whether he can or whatever. I don't know, but I think he wants to. And I hope the war in Ukraine ends, because I hope all wars end. Go ahead.
Yeah, because it's very costly. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to know, you know, I didn't vote this time around, because until Americans get contracts on these people that's supposed to be running this country, I don't even, like you say, both parties are crooks. So I don't think that I'm going to be voting until we get contracts. Just like my job, I have to have a contract, and if I don't fulfill my contract, then I don't have a job.
Well, you know, the reality is, a lot of people in America did what you did here in 2024. A lot of people in America just said, you know what, it ain't nothing in it for me. You know, it's like I always say, everybody in America listens to the same radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? And if you want somebody to vote for you as a politician, you got to say, this is what's in it for you. The Democrats never said what's in it for their voters, and a lot of their voters stayed home because they didn't feel it was nothing in it for them, just like you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I wanted to say, man. And God bless you. Have a good new year.
All right. Number's 202-588-0893. And the caller that just hung up a few minutes ago, call back. I got to apologize. I ran my mouth a little bit long and I didn't give him enough chance to talk. And I would like to give him an opportunity to speak again. He might have had something else to say. 202-588-0893. We got open lines. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's going on, Garland?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, brother.
It's Max calling from Maryland.
All right. What do you got to say this week? Fill us in. Straighten us out.
I'm actually curious to see what's going to happen with the Russia-Ukraine war. And I actually want to ask you some questions about, like, the history of Russia-Ukraine and just get your kind of take on it.
Yes. Okay.
So what's, like, your opinion on the 2010 election between Viktor Yanukovych and Yulia Tymoshenko? Like,
Yes. What do they call her? Isn't she the gas queen or something? Yulia Tymoshenko. Well, I'll put it like this. It certainly seemed nobody internationally said that they felt that it, that I know of. I didn't hear anybody say that they felt that it was there was anything wrong with that election.
That wasn't my argument.
It seems to me that it was a reason. I don't know. It seems to me like it was an okay election. Viktor Yanukovych, right?
It was legit. It was definitely a legit election. Yeah. I meant more. So, do you think, like, who, based on your opinion of the issues with, you know, the West, the East, Ukraine, Russia, like, who do you think was the better candidate? I think what I'm saying is, what do you think Yanukovych was the better choice?
From my opinion, yes, I think Yanukovych was the better choice. But I don't know. I'm not Ukrainian. It's not up to me to say. I think that, Tymoshenko's, you know, like so many of the oligarchs, she's very, very wealthy. I think they call her the gas queen. But at any rate, like so many of the oligarchs in Ukraine, she's so corrupt. I don't know. But, you know, I put it like this. The Ukrainian people chose Yanukovych. So I would support in a legitimate election that they have a right. They had a right to choose him.
Okay. And then to the Maidan, like the revolution. I know that there definitely were plants, and then the Svoboda Party definitely have like their fair share of neo-Nazis that were involved in that. Do you think there were Ukrainian people on their own merit that also revolted, or do you think it was all like kind of just an influence?
Well, let me put it to you like this, and I think this is very telling. And people can look online and find this. Victoria Nuland at that time was the Undersecretary of State for the state, United States State Department. Jeffrey Pyatt, P-Y-A-T-T. Jeffrey Pyatt at that time was the U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine. 2 weeks before the government of Ukraine fell, there's a famous conversation that's out online. You can find it. It's on YouTube all over the place. Now, this is 2 weeks before a violent overthrow of the government of Ukraine. 2 weeks before that, Victoria Nuland named the new government. And she said, okay, we're going to put this guy in Yats. She called him Yats. Yats will be in charge. And they said, well, what about this guy? No. And so she did. Now, think about this. The Undersecretary of State of the United States and the ambassador talked about who should be in the new government. But there was no new government because the government wasn't overthrown until 2 weeks later. And all of the people that they named were in the new government. How would you feel if there was somebody from Russia was found saying, you know, I think Garland Nixon should be the president. What do you think? Oh, yeah, definitely Garland Nixon. And 2 weeks later, the government was overthrown and Garland Nixon was the president. I think it was pretty obvious that the United States installed a new government. Go ahead.
I guess I have to do more reading, but you definitely, based on the facts you are articulating, that definitely is a compelling argument, you know. There, I still have to do. I'm still learning more about that too. So I need to learn more about the history with that. I do know though that there were militiamen that came. Like initially, it was just people protesting at Maidan Square, but then the militias came in. And I know McCain was there. I read he flew over there around that time too. So I know what you're saying.
The place was crawling with Americans. I know people that were there. Think about this. there was so-called protests going on, and the protests were crawling with Americans, including American diplomats, that 2 weeks later had named the new government, and the government in power hadn't even fallen yet. Imagine right now if there were protests in downtown D.C., and the protests were saying, we must overthrow the government and put in a new government. And there was Russian and Chinese State Department and foreign ministry people all over handing out cookies saying, yes. And you found out that the Russian and foreign ministry and the Chinese foreign ministry had named a new government for the United States 2 weeks before our government fell. Wouldn't you be a little suspicious?
Yeah, no, I would. And when you specifically say like Americans, do you mean like a lot of American citizens, or just specifically a lot of our diplomats went there?
Oh, our diplomats were. It was crawling with it. The whole thing was run out of the U.S. embassy in Kiev. And might I add, immediately after the government of Ukraine fell, what happened? Joe Biden started running Ukraine. His son, Hunter Biden, then went straight to Ukraine and got a job paying him $80,000 a month on the board of Burisma, which is a Ukrainian gas company. He doesn't speak Ukrainian and he knows nothing about gas. Immediately afterwards, might I add, Amos Hochstein, who right now is he's supposed to be representing Biden for Israel. Amos Hochstein did the same thing. He quit his job with the State Department and he went and he got a job with Naftogaz, which is the official gas company of Ukraine. Here's the bottom line. As soon as the Ukrainian government fell, Americans in very high spaces started going to Ukraine, getting jobs, paying them a fortune for doing nothing. Does that sound suspicious to you?
Yeah, I've read a decent little bit about the Hunter laptop. I don't know. I might have some conjecture there.
But this ain't even about the laptop. It has nothing to do with the laptop. That's just what happened. Nobody disputes that.
Oh, yeah.
He went there and got a job.
Yeah, I don't dispute that. Yeah, he definitely was working there. Yeah, I'm not disputing that.
It's not even about the laptop. I mean, Hunter doesn't dispute that. And might I add, so Hunter got his job in 2014 in Ukraine immediately after the government fell, right? Joe Biden, about 3 weeks ago, gave Hunter Biden a pardon. And his pardon was for any crimes that he might have committed going back to 2014. What a strange coincidence, don't you think?
I mean, I definitely think there's some strange coincidence there, but I would also, it is kind of off topic, but if I said, what about the Trump pardoning of Paul Manafort, who had way more serious tax violations, tax fraud conspiracy, when he was influencing Ukrainian elections, the FAR violation, what would you say to that?
Influencing? He worked in Ukraine. He worked for the government of Ukraine openly.
Well, yeah,
he worked for the party of regions.
I'm very familiar
with Manafort.
That was coming from Russian oligarchs, though.
What's that? Well, he worked for the president of Ukraine, for the party of regions, openly.
Yanukovych, but Yanukovych was funded through Russian oligarchs as well, though.
Well, I've heard that allegation. I'll put it like this. I've never seen evidence of it.
No, it's not an allegation.
I've heard a lot of allegations. I can't say that factually because I've never seen evidence of it.
That he was a grave counterintelligence threat on Manafort.
I've heard those allegations, but I haven't seen the evidence of it. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying as much as I searched, I've never seen the evidence of it.
He had like 18 tax fraud conspiracy felony convictions, because some of the wealthiest oligarchs in Ukraine are also in alignment. I don't remember the guy's name, but some of the wealthiest oligarchs in Ukraine have ties to wealthy oligarchs in Russia too.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say they don't. A lot of them have Ukraine's the oligarch. Well, you know where a lot of them have both now oligarchs. I mean, we use the word oligarch for Ukraine or Russia, but the, you know, we got oligarchs too, if you want to use that term. Most of them, you know where they almost all got a lot of them have ties to? Israel. Israel. A whole bunch of them got ties and do a lot of money laundering. Both Russian and Ukrainian billionaires, a lot of them actually have citizenship in Israel. They have two and three different countries that they have citizenship, and Israel is one of them. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know we do have a lot of connections to Israel. Trust me. Sometimes I think Israel's 10 times greater threat to national security than people say, even Russia. Like I listened to a guy make a joke, say that if the United States said they stopped aiding Israel tomorrow, Israel would probably strike down the White House.
Joe Biden once said, if Israel did not exist, we would have to invent it to address our security needs in the region. Israel is a puppet state. It is used so that we can have plausible deniability. Look, Israel right now, they ain't got no bombs. We provide bombs. We provide bullets. We provide everything for Israel right now. Israel couldn't bomb anybody. Israel couldn't do anything. We provide everything. Israel is a front for the United States imperialism, in my opinion.
So,
all right. Well, thanks a lot. I certainly appreciate the call. All right. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Robert again.
All right. There you go. What's happening, Robert? I think you might be a little clearer this time.
Yeah. I was trying to give a scientific definition of a nation. Anyway, I'm in agreement with you on foreign policy in terms of Ukraine and Israel on your viewpoint. I'm in 100% agreement with you. And we need to unite the many to defeat the few. And we need socialism here in the U.S. of A.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts? Are you a member of either parties? Are you a member of a third party? Are you a socialist party? What is your party? Do you have a party affiliation?
Well, I identify with the Party for Socialism and Liberation, but I'm not actually a member.
Okay. Okay. Oh, well, that's good. Are you a guy? Do you vote regularly? Do you vote? So you vote?
Oh, yes. I've been voting, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, did you have any other comments, my friend? I certainly appreciate your calling and supporting the show.
I just want to thank you for being on the air and being a light in darkness.
All right. Thank you very much. One thing that I'll just, before I go to the next caller, I'll say this. Look, I don't care if people disagree with me. I don't care because I have my opinions, but I say this, I believe this. Whatever opinion I have, I'm going to try my best to provide facts as best I can, to provide a historical context so that I don't just say, well, this is what I believe and I made it up, because I just don't buy it. U.S. I'll put it like this, like before I go to the next caller. I found this. When it comes to U.S. foreign policy, most people, there's one of two options. You can either understand it and you support it. But any moral person who understands U.S. foreign policy ain't gonna support it. If you support U.S. foreign policy, you probably don't understand it. Once you start understanding it and you figure out that the United States rampages around the world like a pirate, stealing stuff, overthrowing governments, assassinations, you name it. Once you find that out, it ain't no way back there. There's no way to climb down from that. You can't say, oh, well, I think we're the good guys in this conflict. That ain't what we do. The United States fights around the world to make the world safe for corporate oligarchy. Simple as that. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from? You're on the air, caller. Uh-oh, I guess that caller ain't on the air. Oh, there you go. What's happening, caller? Oh, okay. Okay, next call. Look, don't forget, everybody, don't set the phone down, right? Do not set the phone down. Keep it at your ear. All right, next call, you're on the air. Hello? Hello?
This is Aya Ashburn, Virginia.
Okay, I'm trying to speak loud and clear. Speak very loud and clear so we can understand you. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Aya Ashburn, Virginia, and I had a question.
Okay.
What do you think Trump would do to regard to Syria?
What do I think he'll do regarding Syria? Well, I don't know. I tell you why, because Syria is an absolute mess. It is a disaster right now. It is being run by a combination, run by Turkey and by ISIS, by some horrific, unthinkable, murderous criminal terrorists are running the country. And I have no idea. I don't know what I would do. I would run. That's what I would do. I would run. But I don't really know what Trump will do when it comes to Syria. Sadly and unfortunately, I think Donald Trump will probably support Israel. And I think that's the worst thing we could do for Syria. And I also think it's the worst thing we could do for Israel, because we ain't supporting Israel in the way they're doing is like if you have a member of your family who is an alcoholic and you support them by giving them more alcohol. And I think that's what we're doing with Syria. Do you have any more questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Next caller. We got more callers? No more callers. Okay. Yeah, that's the way I feel. You know, people like support Israel. My opinion, and I've said this about Israel, because, you know, there's a big discussion. Does the United States support control Israel? Does Israel control the United States? My position is Israel is a project of the United States. It is a project of the United States. It's just like my arm. That's like saying, does Garland Nixon support his arm or does his arm support his body? My arm is appendage. It's a part of my body. It's a part of my body that I use to accomplish tasks. So it's not like, oh, does my body control me? No, it's part of my body. That's what Israel is to the United States. My hand, I got to put something in that hand to do something, don't I? I control that hand, so that hand doesn't control me. All right, next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air, next caller.
Hey, my name is Lawrence.
Lawrence, what's happening? Talk to me, Lawrence.
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm in Sterling, Virginia. I've got a comment to make.
Okay.
When Trump takes office and decides to travel abroad with his 34 felony counts, will the foreign leaders treat him the way he's treating migrant felons in this country?
Well, that's a kind of a weird question, to be quite frank with you. But let me tell you, he's the president of the United States. And if you're the president of the United States, when you hit the ground in a foreign country, they're going to bend the knee and say, yes, sir. That's what's going to happen. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if you become president. As much power as the U.S. president has, when he hits the ground, they're going to say, yes, sir. That is what I believe. Go ahead.
Yeah, just like the Republicans over on Capitol Hill.
I mean, that's the reality of the world. You know what I mean? That's the reality of power. That's power. If you become president, I don't care if they like you or they hate you. When you walk in a room, they're going to smile and say, yes, sir, because it's not you they like or respect. It's the level of power you command. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. You cleared it up for me real good. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Any more callers? No more callers? We got and guess what? We got a few more minutes and we got enough room, enough time for another caller. So 202-588-0893. We got enough time for a couple more callers. So, yeah, bottom line is we've got another 20 days and Trump will be in. And, you know, I do this a lot. I'll have people, because a lot of people know I'm a political analyst. I have friends, they know I do radio, et cetera. And they'll say, Trump's going to come in. Wait a minute, I'm here. Okay, here we go. And they'll ask me and they'll say, what do you think he's going to do? I'm hearing myself. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Okay, thanks. Okay, good. It's gone. There we go. There was something. I'm hearing it again. I keep hearing myself. Yeah, still have. We have some kind of a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I'll try to move. Okay, I think we're good. It's coming and going. Anyway, well, I might as well keep talking. What I've said when people say, "What is Trump going to do?" What I say is this. He was already in for 4 years. It ain't hard to guess. He's going to make a bunch of tweets that get on people's nerves. He's going to run off at the mouth with a lot of boisterous boasting and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take Greenland. I'm going to take Canada, blah, blah, blah. The Democrats are going to go berserk. Oh, my God, Trump's going to take Greenland and do this. You're going to go freak out, right? And he ain't going to do none of it. And to be quite frank, my opinion, based on the way I view power, is this. Trump is no more than the real actual people who control things allow him to do. The people who actually control things are the billionaires. It's funny, we use the word oligarchs. Oh, the Ukrainian oligarchs, the Russian oligarchs. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, the DuPonts. Any number of people or families in the United States I can point to has got more money than any of the oligarchs in Russia or any of the oligarchs in Ukraine. So here's the truth. Why don't we call them oligarchs in the United States? Still have a bad, you know, keep hearing a bad echo. But whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? Why is it that we have oligarchs? I mean, that other countries have oligarchs and we don't. You know? So, you know, for whatever reason, I'll put it like this. I am frightened of any particular politician more than the others. Oh, we got another caller. All right. This is going to be, let's try to deal with this. All right. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Vic calling from Annapolis. How are you today?
I'm just wonderful. And yourself?
Great, great, great. Thank you so much. I got a lot of good information from you. Every time I listen to you, because I like what you know, the way you bring things with facts. Even that situation was dealing with Hunter Biden and, you know, him getting out the military and on drugs and going to Ukraine. A lot of people just ain't got that message. But I told him to listen to Garland Nixon or look him up, and then you'll find the facts to support the evidence, the truth. But I want to ask you about... I was listening to a podcast of a brother, and he was talking about something about the Uyghurs, or something, these Chinese soldiers who are
the Uyghurs
in Syria. The Uyghurs, yeah. There's not a lot coming out about that. Mm-hmm. Can you dabble a little bit on that at the ending of your show and just talk about a
Certainly.
Few things about what, yeah, about that, please? Thank you so much.
Sure. The Uyghurs are a Muslim group or sect, whatever you want to call it, that lives in China, in the Xinjiang region of China. And basically the United States says, we've accused them of genociding the Uyghurs. Just that's one of the things the U.S. goes after China a lot. And one of the things we attack China with is the Uyghurs. And we say, oh, they're genocide the Uyghurs. Literally, we've accused the United States now has accused China of genocide. Now here's something I'll throw at you. The population of the Uyghurs has increased over the last 20 years. And so here's what I would say. You ain't good at genocide. That's kind of the opposite of genocide. Hey, they've genocided those people. Really, did they die? No, the population actually increased. And the United States has also worked with the Uyghurs and integrated them into some of the terrorist cells, such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda, that we have supported, that we arm, such as the groups that we arm to overthrow the government of Syria. A lot of people look at Syria and they think the United States fighting ISIS. We were fighting ISIS. ISIS worked for us. In fact, there's a famous cable that came from Jake Sullivan, Biden's right-hand man, in which he says in that cable, which he released, that Al-Qaeda is on our side. Al-Qaeda is with us in Syria. And they ought to be with us because we're paying for them. So that's the reality of the Uyghurs, a Chinese Muslim sect that the government, the U.S. government, tries to use as a weapon, as a cat's paw against China to try to stabilize and cause problems with China, the Uyghurs. Yep. All right. Leah, could I get some music ready? Okay, that sounds great. So appreciate that. I want to thank Kalia. He does a fantastic job here. And I want to thank you all. And if you have more questions, feel free to email me. My email is my first name and the first letter of my last name, Garland, G-A-R-L-A-N-D-N, at garlandn@gmail.com. You can email me if you've got questions. If some of the things that I said, you're like, I don't believe it, can you provide me with the legal evidence? I'd be happy to do it. Or if you want to talk to somebody else and you want to support some of the things that I said, let me know. I'll send you the links. I'll send you the info happily, right? Don't forget this. This is important. If you can, go to WPFWFM.com. O-R-G, WPFM.org. There's a donate button there if you can afford to donate. People help people from there. That's always appreciated. Thanks to my main man, Kalia. Peace. I'm out.
Your